Amen. Right where we're seated, would you just lift your hands one more time? Just worship Him. That's what we've come to do. We've come to worship Him, to honor Him, to praise Him. Lord, we worship You. We worship You, everlasting God. We worship You, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord and Master and King. We worship You, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We worship You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 2. And as you're turning, don't forget this evening services. Come early to pray. And we are in the midst of vacation time, but I appreciate the fervor of God's people to see the Lord move. And so be here tonight for that. Our special meeting this week is Tuesday night, the Davis Family Reunion Tour. There's going to be over 30 of the Davis family here, and it's going to be kind of like, I guess, Gaither homecoming or something, but this is Davis homecoming. And you won't want to miss that. Invite your friends, and it'll be a good time for folks to hear the gospel and for us to be encouraged by the gospel and song. Because of that special service, we will not have service on Wednesday evening. Friday at 6:30, Young Married Couples Fellowship. And Saturday at 6 o'clock is Sidewalk Sunday School. We had to switch some dates. We had problems scheduling the Sunday School picnic this year with the park service. And so our Sunday School picnic will be Saturday, August 27th. Looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd just like to see the Lord have His way in the house, wouldn't you? He is here. He is here. Praise the Lord. If we get that far in the service tonight, the Lord continues to deal with my heart about this. I wanted to minister tonight on this thought. Where is the power of God? And it might surprise you what I have to share. And I'd just like us to pray for that service tonight. But right now we have this service, a communion service, and we want the presence of God to be here. We want to hear the Word of God. We want our hearts open to His Word. You know that last week we began a series on the parables, and we are going to be sharing from one of those this morning. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 21. Jesus said, here's His parable, "No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old. In other words, the new piece that fills the hole, it begins to shrink, and it takes away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and all the bottles will be marred." Listen, here it is. "But new wine must be put into new bottles." New wine must be put into new bottles. I want to preach this morning on new bottles for the new wine. New bottles for the new wine. Amen. I appreciate that picture, Brother Mike, that is explaining, that's doing some of the explaining I'll be doing today. That is a New Testament bottle right there. New bottles for the new wine. Jesus makes us new because He's going to make us part of a new covenant, part of a new kingdom. He gives us new life to go to a new heaven, rule over a new earth. It's all about what He can make new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words You spoke when You walked this earth, Your Son Jesus spoke these words. God, help us, oh God, to hear them echo in our hearts and hear the message that You have to say to us, Lord, through Your Word. Lord, may we not only hear it this morning, but may we experience Your making new. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. New bottles for the new wine. We're coming upon a new school year, and I'll pause for all the school-age children to shout. Okay. I didn't hear anything. We're coming upon a new school year, And right now is the time for buying new school supplies. Now, it's been a long time ago, about 44 years ago. I'm getting myself older than I am. About 44 years ago, that means nothing to you, but it makes me feel a little better. 44 years ago, and I can still remember that excitement of at the first of the year, and I got my new Big Chief tablet and my new half-inch round pencils and my new erasers. How many remembers that feeling of when you got your new? Well, let's take you back a little further. What about even when you got a new box of crayons? Wasn't that kind of a thrill just to get that new thing? Amen. Maybe it was a new backpack or a new lunchbox, something brand new. There are millions of cars and there's been billions of babies, but there's still nothing like a new car and a new baby. Amen. I'm not talking about new in the sense of weird or odd, but new in the sense of fresh. Amen. Jesus can bring the sense of new. Hallelujah. He can cause our minds to be new, our hearts to be new, our emotions to be new. Our life can be new. In fact, he never closes the book without making the declaration, I make all things new. Hallelujah. That's what our Lord does. Do you feel stuck in the rut? Amen. Do you feel bored? Are you burned out with life? Does it seem to you that everything's the same old, same old? Are you dealing with the same problems? Do you have the same disappointments in your life? Are you struggling with the same old temptations? Are you going through the same crisis? Do you keep doing things the same old way and keep getting the same unsatisfying result? If that's so this morning, I've got good news. Jesus is the King of new. Hallelujah. He's the one that gives the new beginning. Jesus makes all things new. Amen. If that fits you this morning, it's the same old in your life. The same stalemate, the same pain, the same drudgery, the same hopelessness, the same disillusionment. All of those things can leave this morning if you allow Jesus to come in, take control of your life, even breathe new life into you, because he is the one that gives a whole new way of living, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of thinking, of feeling. He is the one that brings in a new life, puts us in a new kingdom, gives us a new hope, gives us a new philosophy of life, gives us a new home, gives us a new destiny. He's the one that makes all things new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But even more wondrous, amen, is that he makes us new so we can receive the new he has to give. Think about it. He makes us new so we can receive the new he has to give. What am I trying to say? He makes the new bottle so he can fill it with new wine. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to take a unique approach to these parables. Amen. I'm just going to ask a series of questions. Number one, what is going on? What's going on? The reason I ask this question is because many times, starting at Sunday school, we extract these parables right from the pages of Scripture, and we forget that Jesus shared these parables for a specific reason. There was something going on in the crowd. There was something going on in the events of the day. There was something going on in his teaching that caused him to use these parables. And so I think if we really understand the parables, we first have to ask the question, what was going on that caused Christ to share this parable? Let me just in brief tell you what was going on. It was those old Pharisees, those scribes, those self-righteous ones. Again, they had come to where Christ was, and they were constantly watching Jesus and watching Jesus' disciples. And why were they watching them? Not to see what God was doing, not to hear what God was speaking. They were there not to seek truth. They were there
to attempt to find something wrong with Jesus, to find something wrong with his teaching. Anything wrong they could find, they were there to find it. And that's what was going on. Those Pharisees and scribes, they showed up to find something that was wrong with Jesus. But here is what the Pharisees were doing when they were looking for something wrong. They judged everything Jesus said. They judged everything they observed him doing. They judged it not by the criteria of Scripture, but they judged it by their own customs, their own practices, their own traditions. In other words, they judged Jesus by the old. They judged Jesus by their old traditions, their old rituals. Amen. And so they were there to judge, and being there for that reason, they found something they didn't like about Jesus. Amen. Could I say we should never be like the Pharisees? When we come to church, we should not be there to find something wrong. When we come to church, we should not be asking, do I like it? Does it suit me? Do I agree? Is it to my preference, my taste? Do I get anything out of it? But we ought to be asking when we come to church, what is God doing? What is God saying? What would God have us to do? How is the Spirit moving? Amen. To whom is God reaching out to? Amen. That ought to be the question. What is the Lord doing in our hearts this morning? Amen. They saw something they didn't like. Amen. First of all, they accused Jesus to his disciples. Jesus just called Matthew the old hated tax collector. You think you're uncomfortable with an IRS agent? Even these Jews really had problems with these Roman tax collector. And Jesus had the audacity to walk by to one that was sitting at his seat before the table of customs, extorting money from the Jews. Jesus had the audacity to call one to be his disciple. He looked at Matthew and said, follow me. And Matthew let the tax money drop on the table, stood up, never took a look back and followed Jesus. But it got a little worse than that. Jesus not only called Matthew, but he answered Matthew's invitation to have supper at Matthew's house. Matthew's a tax collector. Who are his friends? Tax collectors. Who are his friends? IRS agents. Amen. Of the time. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said yes to that invitation. He went to Matthew's house. He sat beside Matthew. He sat shoulder to shoulder with the hated tax collector, the sinner, the publicans. And the Pharisees saw that, and it got them all riled up. And they accused Jesus to his disciples and says, who is this man you're following? Look what he's doing. He's eating with sinners and publicans. He's fraternizing with sinners. They meant it as a slam. I see it as a compliment. Our Lord associates with the sinner. Hallelujah. And then they accused the disciples to Jesus. We righteous Pharisees, we fast 2 days a week, but we notice your disciples, every time they ring the dinner bell, here they come. Jesus, what kind of men you have? They don't fast like we fast. I'm telling you, those Pharisees, they were criticizing. They found something they didn't like about Jesus. How many believes it be a truism that if we look for something we don't like about church, we look for something we don't like about the preaching, we look for something we don't like about, how many knows it's a truism? If we're looking for it, we're going to find it. Amen. The Pharisees looked for something wrong and they found it. Jesus spoke nothing that violated Scripture. Jesus did nothing that broke the Bible law or commandment. Jesus just ate with sinners and his disciples ate instead of fasting. But Jesus, by doing so, was giving those holy, holy Pharisees conniption fits. I mean, he was eating right shoulder to shoulder with the sinner. He wasn't doing the 2 weekly fast. Amen. And here he was at the table with that old Matthew. But you see, what they didn't realize, Jesus was doing a new thing. He was going against the status quo. He was standing things on their head. Amen. He turned their apple cart upside down. And this parable is the reason that he did it. He said, I didn't come to put new wine in an old bottle. It'll never work. But I've come to make the bottle new so I can fill it up with new wine. Hallelujah. And the parable is the answer to the criticisms of the Pharisees. The second question I want to ask, what is this illustration from real life? What is this illustration? This is an example of a parable that's not a story like the prodigal son. This is just an example, an illustration from everyday living in life. Amen. Jesus took the reality that those folks dealt with on a daily basis, and he used it to explain this wonderful truth that Jesus comes to make all things new. Hallelujah. The first part of the illustration is patching the old garment with new material. Now we in this 2011, we find it hard to get our minds wrapped around this simple illustration. Why? We don't patch clothing anymore. They get a little hole in it. We throw it out and go to Walmart and get some new clothing. Maybe some of the older ones, they can remember the time you didn't throw away your clothes. You patched them. You mended them. How many knows darn didn't used to be a slang word? Used to be something folks did. They patched. I mean, I'm not that old, but every time I got a hole in the knees of my jeans, I didn't get a new pair of jeans. I got a patch on them. Some of you can remember when they had patches on top of patches. Hallelujah. And so today it's harder to get our mind around this. But Jesus said, now listen, those of you that get a rent in your old garment, you don't get a bolt of new material and say, I want to fix the old. So you take the new material and you cut out a big old patch from the brand new bolt of material and you sew it on the old. You don't do that for two reasons. Number one, that's going to ruin the new material. You could have made something out of it. Now you want to make a robe out of it, and you lift the new material up, and there's a hole in it because you cut it out to make a patch for your old robe. You don't do it because you'll ruin the new. But you also don't do it because it won't work. I mean, the materials weren't as refined as they are today. And you take this new material, sew it to the old. Some of you have seen this happen. Put it in a washing machine, run it through the wringer, and let it dry on the sun. And as it dries, that new unshrunk material, here it goes a shrinking, and the tightness of the stitch, it pulls and it rips the old material. Now we may not understand that, but what Jesus was saying, that would be like you having problems with your computer. Amen. The CD drive went out. You're having a bit of problem with the motherboard, just a few problems with your old computer. So you go to Best Buy, you buy a brand new computer, you bring it home and start taking it apart and taking the parts off the new computer to put on your old computer. You're so attached to that computer, you're just going to tear up, junk the new one for the parts for the old one. That would be a modern day illustration. Amen. Jesus said, gave a second illustration and said it's like filling old bottles with new wine. That's why I didn't talk with Brother Dearth, but I'm glad he got it right. When we think of bottles, we think of Coca-Cola bottles. And again, there's a generation thing here. I mean, I live back when they put pop in bottles. How many lived way back then when they put? And so when we think of bottles, we think of those glass pop bottles. We might, when we want to get a little closer to it, we might think of some clay jar, but that's not true. In Bible times, they used everything. They took the animal skins. This was probably a goat here. That'll help your lunch if you can imagine that was a goat. That was a goat. And they took it, they tanned the skin, and then they tied off different parts of the appendage, and there they had a bottle to carry wine or water. This was the Bible bottle. This helps us to understand. Because you took this new wine bottle, you poured into it wine. Wine begins to ferment, and as it ferments, it expands. And so you got this new skin. It became a bottle. As the wine expands, the skin expands. Amen. Kind of like putting a bottle of water or pop, but let's go back to pop, putting a bottle of pop, a plastic bottle of pop, in the freezer. You don't want to do that. Because when the pop expands, a bottle doesn't. But they were ahead of us. They had bottles that expanded as the wine fermented and grew. Now that was a new bottle. The trouble was, if you'd already used that bottle skin or that skin bottle to put new wine in, it had already stretched. It's now an old bottle. And the trouble is, if you put new wine into an old bottle skin bottle, when the new wine began to ferment and expand, the old skin had already expanded. It had lost its elasticity, and it could expand no further, so it would burst, it would rupture, and not only was the bottle ruined, you couldn't use it for water now, not only was the bottle ruined, but you lost your wine. And that picture made certain sense to those that heard Jesus use it. They all knew that was true. You didn't want to put new wine in an old bottle. Amen. It just wasn't going to work. Ruin your old bottle and lose your wine. That's the reality Jesus was sharing. Next question. What was Jesus driving at? He was driving at this. Pharisees, you're all upset because I'm going against your old traditions. Your traditions say never eat with the sinner. We're not talking about being best buddies. Amen. We're talking about different circumstances. But their tradition says don't eat with the sinner. Their tradition said you got to fast twice a week. Here I come. I've not done either of those things. And you're all upset. But you've got to understand something. The reason you can't receive what I'm doing, the reason you can't receive what I'm teaching, the reason you can't receive what I've come to bring. Listen to me, Pharisees, you're a bunch of old bottles. And you're just about to burst. You're having a conniption fit. You're just about to burst because you can't receive the new wine because you're an old bottle. Oh, hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. I didn't call anyone an old bottle. Jesus came to bring revolution. Jesus came to bring a new age, a new kingdom. Jesus came to bring a new way of worship. Jesus came to overthrow the old and bring in the new. He came to overthrow the reign of Satan. He came to end the bondage of sin. He came to overthrow man-made religion, its empty traditions, its empty rituals, its practices. He came to bring the revolution of the new. He came to bring a new ruler over our hearts. He came to bring a new life, a new way of living, a new hope, a new goal, a new dream. But he said, if you're going to receive the new, you need to let me make you new so you can receive it. Hallelujah. People could never receive the new until they let Jesus help them get rid of the same old habits, the same old way of thinking, the same old attitude, the same old customs, the same old tradition. I'm telling you, some people could never receive anything new from God because they hang on to the same old attitude. I'm telling you, till the attitude changes, you won't get anything new from God. But if you let him change your attitude, you get something new from him. Oh, hallelujah. Someone shout amen. Hallelujah. Before we go any further in applying this, you say, well, shouldn't the new be rejected? Shouldn't we be against the new? Well, you see, I've got to make some things clear. Yes, I heard the one denomination a few years ago. I heard that bishop on National Public Radio in an interview. They were beginning to ordain homosexual priests. And here's how he explained it. He said, people don't realize what is happening. God is doing a new thing. That's why we're doing this. Amen. So with that, some folks say, shouldn't we reject the new? Well, you got to understand something. Yes, you reject the new if it doesn't line up with the book. You reject the new if it isn't about the promises of God. You reject the new if it isn't about the prophecies of God. You see, but what Jesus was rejecting when he rejected the old, he wasn't rejecting the word of God. He was rejecting simply the customs and traditions of the Pharisees that were not the word of God. It was their own word. These fasts, these bans on eating, amen, these were not the Bible. These were not the scripture. These were man-made laws and man-made riches. God is going to do a new thing, but when he does it, it'll never go against his word. He wasn't going against his word. He was going against the word of the Pharisees. But listen, if it doesn't go against his word, there's some new things he wants to do. I'm going to explain that more in a minute. But I've told you a few times before, holding a revival out in California, even an old drug addict got saved, came in, marked up, cut up, and he came down, got saved one night. The next night he's in the altar over here seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He had his hands in the air. He was crying, and he opened his mouth to praise God, and he had a tongue stud about that big right in the middle of his tongue. Looked like something twice as big as my tie tag stuck through his tongue. I'm not a bigot. I'm not prejudiced or anything like that. But before I could process it, my mind told me I ain't ever seen anybody get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with a tongue stud. And before I caught myself, I made the logical conclusion. Therefore, he can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the tongue stud. But I went ahead and prayed with him. And as I was praying with him, God was saying, hold on here. I'm going to do a new thing. You said you never saw it, but it don't violate my word. And I began to pray with him. Others prayed with him. All of a sudden, he began to speak with other tongues with a tongue stud. Hallelujah. Rest of that story is, he was in the shower the next night getting ready to come to church. He said he heard God. He testified this when he got there. He said he heard God speak to him. It needs to go. He said, I knew what God was saying. He was talking about my tongue stud. I didn't say anything to him. Pastor didn't say anything to him. But God was doing a new thing. You see, what we failed to realize, he would made the vessel new so he could give that fella something new. He changed his heart. Once he got a changed heart, he could receive the new that God had for him. Amen. Jesus didn't go against the word. He went against the trivial traditions of the Pharisees. We're not talking about new in the sense of odd against the word of God. We're talking about unexpected. Amen. We're talking about fresh, current, and revitalizing. And Lamentations, Brother Dearth, it says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad God doesn't give us something besides mercy, but he can give us new mercy. I'm glad he doesn't give us something besides grace, but he gives us new grace. Oh, hallelujah! He gives us a new dose, a new freshness, a new awareness. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about a new cart to carry the ark. I'm talking about a new desire, a new strength, a new hunger to carry the ark. Amen. The New Testament is not a departure from the Old Testament. It's a fulfillment. It's the realizations of the Old Testament. When I talk about God doing something new, I'm not talking about just changing up things to change up things. You know, I'm not against it. I know we get in a rut. We can start tonight with the altar call and end with the congregational singing. That's all right with me. But just to change things up, that's not the new that we need. Because you can only change things up so many times, and then you're not changing it up. You're used to that too. Even it's not just changing up things to change up things. It's not doing something new just so we can say we're doing something new. It's not doing something new thinking that just doing something new is going to make a difference. It isn't even doing something new just to be up to date and contemporary and on the cutting edge. It's something new that we desire, because we got desire God to do something new. We desire something fresh. We're tired of the stale. We're tired of growing stagnant. Amen. We want God to give it to us all over again. As the song said, oh Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. That's the new I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. It's something new because God is prompting. The Spirit is moving. Jesus is making a divine attempt to help us grow, expand. If God's moving, I want to move. It may go against the grain of my comfort. It may go against my preconceived ideas. It may go against my preference. It might be something that goes against my idiosyncratic ideas. But I want to surrender all of me. I want Him to make me a new vessel so I can hold new wine. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you help me? Are we getting this? Are we saying we're tired of the same old, same old? God, get a hold of me. Change whatever attitudes. Get me out of the rut. Change my preferences. Amen. God, get a hold of me so I am open to Your doing a new thing. Amen. Thank God for faithfulness. I believe in consistency. If you know my life, you know I believe in doing the same thing for consistency's sake. But there comes a time I need to pray, oh God, get a hold of me, change me up so You can give me the new You want to give me. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't patch up an old way of living. He brought in a whole new way of living. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't just come to fix what was wrong with the Pharisee system. He came to replace it with the biblical new way of serving God. But a person cannot receive that new if he's going to hold on to the same old mindset, the same pet peeves. Amen. Jesus illustrated that with the garment. Hallelujah. He said, if you just try to hold on to that old garment and put the new in it, it'll ruin it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, are you just trying to add the new of Christ to your same old way of living? Listen to me. Listen. If you try to live the same way you've always lived in sin and just add church to it, it'll never work. You're trying to add new material to an old garment. If you want to continue to live in sin and just try to add church singing to it, you haven't got anything. It'll ruin the church singing and it'll ruin you. Amen. He didn't want to add something new to your old. He wants to make you new so He can give you the new. Hallelujah. And then what about that wine? Thank you. What about that wine? Hallelujah. I want to ask all of us as Christians, amen, you've loved me long enough, you won't get upset. Amen. But have we become old bottles that have lost our give? We've become so rigid. We've become so set in our ways. We've lost our ability to expand like a wine bottle and let God do something new in our lives. Amen. I don't want to lose my give. I'm not talking about compromising, negotiating with the devil. I'm talking about allowing God to work on me so He can do something new in my life. Hallelujah. Be a new wine bottle so you can hold the new wine. Attempts, amen, to do what we just suggested ruins both the new and the old. I've belabored that long enough. I've belabored a lot of this long enough, but I believe it's a message. Jesus makes a new bottle to hold the new wine. I want to emphasize before we move on and conclude this, amen, come to our conclusion. Amen. Jesus didn't come just to get rid of everything old for the sake of getting rid of the old. He came to bring in, not to get rid of the old, He came in to bring the next stage. Amen. He came in to bring the final stage of God's working. He came in not to get rid of the old. He came to complete it, to fulfill it, and to bring it to its fullness. Hallelujah. He didn't come to get rid of the covenant. He came with a renewal of the covenant. Amen. He didn't come to get rid of sacrifice. He just got rid of animal sacrifice and made Himself the sacrifice. Hallelujah. He didn't come to get rid of bringing something to the temple. temple like oil or meal or now. He came so that we might bring to the temple not an animal, but our praise and our worship. He didn't come to get rid of the temple. He just got rid of the temple of stone and made it a temple of people. Hallelujah. He didn't come to get rid of the law in this book. He came to write the law on our hearts. He didn't come, amen, just so the glory could stay in the temple, because now he came to put the glory in our very innermost being. Oh, praise God and the Lamb forever. Jesus came with a new covenant of new life, that we might have a new approach to God and become new creations by Christ with a new heart and a new name. He has given us a new song. How many has he given you a new song this morning? Give us a new song. Amen. He's going to create for us a new heaven and earth. And one day we are going to worship him in a new Jerusalem. So let's bring the parable all to conclusion. What should we do? What is this parable calling upon us to do? Listen, I have found that our deepest needs would be met not if God put us in new circumstances, but if God made us new for the same old circumstances. I said most of our deepest needs would not be met if we just allowed God to put us in a whole new circumstance, but if we let God to make us new in our circumstance. Amen. What do we do? What does this parable say to believers? To believers, it says we need to be open to God renewing us. As believers, we need to admit we become rigid, we become stuck, and we need God to make us new. We need God to take the old wineskin that we've become, the wineskin that it's lost its ability to expand. We no longer give, we no longer accommodate anything new. We need God to come and take us who are set in our ways and move upon us until suddenly we're saying, oh God, I've served you for 50 years, but do a new thing in my heart. Do a new thing in my life. I've heard people talking about that new plumbing, that Apex plumbing. They say it'll freeze up with water and it'll, that little half inch will get that big and never burst. You don't do that with that old kind of PVC. You take that half inch and that water freezes and it expands. It's going to burst. Oh, hallelujah. So maybe you want to pray, Lord, make me PEX and not PVC. Hallelujah. I want to be ready for a new thing. God wants to do something in the believer's life. But let's not let our stuck in the rut. I like things the way they are, my way. Amen. We've always done it like this. I'm comfortable where I am. Keep us from having the new thing. Amen. God, make us new so we can receive something new. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've already preached. I don't need to requalify. I'm not talking about doing something new just to do something new, just to do something odd, something weird. I'm talking about something new that God is involved in. I remember a few years ago at one of our youth camps, one of the speakers said, we're going to worship, and if you as young people, you don't want to just stay back in your pews, you want to come up front, stand in the altar service and lift your hands and worship there, that'd be great. Amen. Invite the young people to come. Here they came. They began to worship there. Oh, we don't do it that way. Amen. We don't come to the altar till we give the altar call. If we're going to worship, we do it back in the pews. We don't come in mass during song service. I mean, that might look, you know, modern. I'm making no plea for modern, but as I begin to look at those young people crying, seeking the Lord, I thought to myself, you're an old wineskin. God's trying to pour new wine in these young people, and you're saying we don't do it that way. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the most important thing is that they hear from heaven. The most important thing is they have the touch of God in their lives. Amen. I want you to relax if you're thinking, I'm going to come tonight and say we're changing the name of the church, I'm going to turn the pews around facing the opposite wall or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to get to the place as believers that we quit saying we know it all, we've heard it all, we've seen it. We get to the place that there's a hunger in our heart that says, oh God, I'm tired of the staleness and the stagnant. Oh God, I want to see you do a new thing. God, if you have to make the bottle new, make the bottle new. But I want new wine. I want new wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't keep doing things the same way and expect it to come out differently. Hear me. Some people approach every relationship the same way, and it ends in tragedy every time. You need God to help you have a new way. Amen. For that relationship. Some face temptations the same old way. Hallelujah. Oh, I need to go on. About done. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. I will do a new thing. By my word, I will send the latter rain. Pour my spirit out again. New thing again. When God gave this promise to Isaiah, through Isaiah, he said to Israel, I'm going to deliver you from this foreign land and take you back to the promised land. I will do a new thing. But listen, he had delivered people from a foreign land before. He had led his people back to their homeland before, but not that generation. When he said, I'm going to do a new thing, not odd, unique. He said, I'm going to do something new. Amen. I've delivered before, but this generation hadn't experienced it. I'm telling, we say, God, do a new thing. We're telling him, do the book of Acts thing. Do the New Testament thing. Because it'll be new to this generation. And if you've seen it, it'll be new to this crisis. And if you had it in the past, it'll be new to this problem. I'm just convinced we need to take God at his word to do a new thing. Anyone with me this morning? Hallelujah. I'm talking to the believers. Praise God. Brother Wilson, you've served God a long time. I don't mean that bad, but you've served God a long time. But at 88 years, he can do a new thing. I know he believes it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. A young person not too awfully long back said, amen, I just bored with church. Ain't nothing going on. I'm bored. You know, I have a problem with that. One fellow told me, he said, I'm leaving. There ain't enough shouting. I said, brother, I ain't seen you shout. What am I trying to say? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We just need God to make the bottle new so he can give us a new touch, new wine. That's to believers. What about the unbeliever? Listen to me. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, he loves you. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you new life. But I want you to know God doesn't patch up your old life. He didn't cut out the new of the, out of the new of this gospel to patch up your old life. Amen. When he works in you, what he wants to do, not to patch up your old, he wants to give you a brand new life, a brand new beginning. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God just doesn't want to give you joy while you're living in sin. He wants to give you victory over sin so you can really have joy. Amen. He doesn't want to just give you new life, a new way of living. He wants to give you new life so you can live the new way of living. Oh, praise God. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. It'll still be you, but it'll be you with a new heart. You with a new attitude. You with a new hope. You with a new desire. You with a new outlook. You with a new destiny. It'll be the same old house at the same old address, but it'll be a new atmosphere, a new king over your home. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, you won't watch the same old things, partake of the same old things, amen, sin the same old, because you'll be new. Hallelujah. Last of all, what about to the church? God wants us to have new ministries, new targets, new vision with the old ministry. Hallelujah. We're going to start this morning with communion. We're going to pray that God will make communion new to us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not going to put communion on Friday night instead of Sunday morning. That's not what we're going to do. We're not going to exchange the juice for Dr. Pepper and the wafers for cupcakes so we can have new communion. Amen. That is not necessary. Hallelujah. If we'll just let God make us a new bottle, there'll be new wine in the communion. I said, if we'll let God make us a new bottle, there'll be new wine in the communion. It's not let's get this ritual over with so we can go to lunch. It's somebody here needs healed, and as they partake of the elements this morning, the body of Christ could heal them right there in the pew. It's revival could break out in this communion service. It's God could lead me to sit down my elements and cross over to the other side of the church and say, brother or sister, I've had this in my heart against you, but I want to get it right. I'm telling you, he wants to give us new wine this morning. Hallelujah. I was too young to remember the circumstances. I don't know if the Lightners were there at the time, but I remember at a young age, amen, just like any church, looking to get out of church at 12 or 12:15, but the Spirit of the Lord got to moving. Hallelujah. I remember marveling even as a kid. I mean, it was good. 2 o'clock came, we're still in church. 3 o'clock came, we're still in church. 4 o'clock, we're still in church. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, we didn't do something new. Even we let God take the old bottles, make them new bottles, and pour in the new wine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many like new wine this morning? Amen. Would you come, music, those that are going to sing. The old is the rigidity of the pride of our self-righteousness. The old is being stuck in our ways. I don't like new songs. I don't like new people. I don't like new carpet. Amen. It's being stuck in all of that. But to be made new is, oh God. Oh God, thank you for what you've done in the past. But I need something fresh. I need something up today. I need something for the problems of today. I need something to face next week. Oh, God, give me a brand new touch. Would you come? Hallelujah. The music. Amen. It's happened so long back in this church, I can't even remember the couple. I tried desperately. But I remember what was said to me. A couple came, prayed right here. Husband and wife. As I often do, I asked if I could meet with them that week and chat with them. They came, sat down in my office, and the first thing out of that wife's mouth was, I've got a brand new husband. I looked at him, he looked like the same man that was with her in the altar. She said, I got a brand new husband. And she did. The Lord had changed his heart. Aren't you tired of just patching things up? Don't you want God to give you a new garment? Amen. Could you stand across this building? You're here and you may be lost. You may be here with great need. Come ahead, servers. I don't know the need. But I want you to believe that for this purpose, Jesus came. And that's to make all things new. And if you are an unbeliever and you will confess your sins and call out to him, he has promised he will make you a new creation. A new creation. Old things will pass away, and all things will become new. We're going to have this communion, but you're here as an unbeliever. You can do this in your pew. That's fine. But if not, you can come to this altar. We'll pray with you. But if you will confess your sins, he will cleanse you. He'll give you a new attitude, new outlook on life, new hope, new dream, because he makes all things new. And for us believers, would you join me this morning in saying, oh God, if I need anything, I need you to make this old bottle new so I can receive the new that you want to do. Let's pray. Father, just do it this morning. Lord, we claim your promise that you'll do a new thing, and we ask you to do it in our hearts. In Jesus' name.